Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 547. I am Chris. Tony is no longer with us.
I was going to say, you can no longer say joining us as always is Tony.
No, but Earl has returned.
Hey, I did last week's show, so I have
I don't remember what happened last week. Jeff is here.
I don't remember what happened either.
I'm sure we talked about something. I think we talked about Baldur's Gate, maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
Nice. It's
been a little bit busier week than it has been.
I assume you folks also talked about Resident Evil.
Yes. Oh, that was the game we talked about. Yes.
Oh, yeah. We get to do a little.
Yeah, so I finished that.
Yeah.
I guess we can. Wow, it seems like it was so far away.
It does, doesn't it? For something that came out 2 weeks ago. It came out 2 weeks ago. It came out the start of the month.
Yeah. exactly 2 weeks. So, it just seems like a lot has happened in the 20 days that has been going on in May. So,
yeah, this month has flown by. For better or worse.
And we are quickly approaching whatever E3 is.
But before we get to E3, we have Game Fest.
Is that first? Is Summer Game Fest first?
Summer Game Fest is, I think, June 10th, which is the Thursday before E3. So that was announced this week. It's Jeff Keighley said it's going to be about 2 hours. He said something like 12 premieres.
That
is. I'm not really sure the game plan here because, you know, I don't think we were the biggest fans of Summer Game Fest, but it seems really counterproductive to put it right ahead of E3 because either we're going to get a bunch of conferences where it's like, tune in E3 for like the full like gameplay demo or reveal, or it's just going to be a bunch of people dividing whatever games they have into half.
What the hell is Game Fest?
Remember I asked you when it was like 1,000 conferences?
Like E3 all spread out or something else?
But this year it seems like it's going to be a single day event. So I'm assuming it's closer to, what do you call that thing? The PC game show that they used to have at E3, where it's not necessarily one company, it's just a bunch of companies presenting stuff.
Yeah.
And I think they've already said Sony, and I think Microsoft will have a presence there, and some other third parties who also have presence at E3. So it's going to be very curious to see what's kind of.
I mean, this is a huge list. Like 2K, Activision, Amazon's not really a player, but Annapurna, Blizzard, Capcom, Devolver, Dotemu, EA, Epic, Finji, Frontier, Gearbox, Hi-Rez, Innersloth, Coke, Mediatonic, MiHoYo, Bandai Namco, Psyonix, Raw Fury, Riot, Saber, Sega, Sony, Square, Valve, Tencent, Ubisoft, Warner, Wizards of the Coast, and Microsoft. That's a pretty big partner list.
It is, but it also sounds like everybody's going to have like one or two games, because like some of those we kind of know, like I assume, don't tell me, I don't know how to pronounce it, it's going to just be, I assume, Ninja Turtles, which they've been rolling out most of this year. I think Gearbox announced that they'll have a new IP, so I assume that's where that will be revealed and stuff like that.
Earl, did you see that Secret of the Ooze vinyl?
I did, and I'm so pissed off, God, because I pre-ordered it. And then the price I pre-ordered it from canceled the day after it came out. So I pre-ordered it on Amazon, and Amazon's like, we don't know where we're getting new copies. I'm like, that sucks, because I pre-ordered it, and I've had it pre-ordered since like February.
What the fuck? How did they just cancel it? Did they?
I'm so like, pissed. Sorry. stuff at them. Yeah, they just, like, it was the middle of the night, they're like, oh, your order can't be fulfilled. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
That sucks. Yeah, so looking at the Summer Game Fest website, Summer Game Fest, it spans, it's like 2 weeks. It spans through E3.
So it's an E3 on top of E3.
Kind of.
Yes.
Like the kickoff is June 10th. Then Ubisoft Forward is considered part of it. That is June 12th. There's a Valve event called Steam Next Fest that is part of this. That is June 16th.
Basically, it's our worst nightmare from last year, where it's like, oh, it's all of these press conferences we don't want spread out. But this year, in addition to that, there's also actual E3 proper.
Yeah, like E3 is June 12th to the 15th. It's a virtual event. I guess they'll be streaming on Twitch and YouTube and other places. See, their schedule is up as well. See here. Theirs is it's all pretty crazy. There's like a lot of events starting now.
Well, yes and no, because the other thing, and maybe I don't know if you two, I mean, I guess Jeff, because Jeff is this starts in 2 weeks. Literally, this is 2 weeks.
Yes.
And I feel like I don't know what format any of this is taking.
Yeah.
As far as like okay, this summer game, like the Summer Game Fest, like you said, there's a bunch of different conferences, but is like, what is actually going to be the big thing? Like, I guess that was always the thing with E3 at home. It's like, what does that actually mean in this scenario when, you know, like the press conferences we'll get, but will there be demos? Will stuff like that happen? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah. I guess we are in for a wild ride of not knowing what the hell is going on. But I will say this, at least it's, you know, we have some dates, like, that's framed a little bit, as opposed to, you know, every 3 days, like, tune in now for the Square show, for the Ubisoft Part 3 show.
Yes. And with that, I can agree with.
I would like a little more, a little more concrete details here, but I guess we'll find out. And I guess it all wraps up with EA Play Live, July 22nd.
I mean, maybe. I guess, yeah, we had people announce stuff. Like, there could be stuff in August.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, I'm gonna close that. Stop looking at that. It's making me sad. That's coming up. But yeah, games. We played some. Jeff had finished Resident Evil last week. I finished it now. That game's fun.
It's great. Great game.
I was gonna say, you folks are really selling this game as something special.
I'm being serious. I think it's really good.
I assume you went in more death ass week with this.
Yes.
Yeah, we drove Tony pretty much insane. We talked about Resident Evil for 45 minutes. he was maybe a little bit out of it by the time we wrapped that up. I was pretty close to the end when we recorded last week, and I wrapped it up, I think, the very next day. Wow, that game that has some tonal shifts and some it gets a little weird towards the end. Spoilers for people playing Resident Evil, but there's like a whole Call of Duty sequence there.
Yes,
it's weird. I'm not like, because Earl might play it. I don't want to spoil too much, but. Yeah, that whole thing, like, actual feels like actual Call of Duty. Like, you're tossing grenades.
Like, I guess everyone in that 5 or 6 somehow.
Yeah, It's a neat section. I will give it that, but it just feels completely out of place. But I guess that's kind of also the vibe of that game, because each of the four sections kind of feel completely different as well. It all works together, but they're very different.
See, like, I was kind of saying this last week, but I like having to speak around it because I didn't want to spoil stuff for you. But like, I like how the game like kind of starts, you know, for the most part, like kind of small and spooky and very, I don't know how you expect a horror game to be. And like, yeah. I like how it goes for it, like how it, like you said, by the end, it's like all of a sudden we're playing Call of Duty. Like, what the hell is going on here? Like. And like big swings too, like with the narrative stuff and, you know, some of the stuff they do with the characters and stuff. Like, I just like how I personally, like, I know there's a camp that is like, no, they fucked up the ending of this game.
No, I like it. One, yeah. We're not going to spoil the ending here, but I like what they did with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I like where it leaves it means that there will be, like, it can still continue the storyline, but it means there will be a new beginning of sorts for whatever Resident Evil 9 is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, while it can still continue the thread, it has to be different. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I dig it. Like, I don't know. it's just a bonkers. And, like, every Resident Evil kind of has like that ramping up where at the end it's like you're using, you know, even at the early games, it's like all of a sudden you got a rocket launcher and, you know.
Yeah. I heard this on is it Waypoint Radio? It's the Vice show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Klepek was talking about it, and he said, like, Resident Evil, all of them pretty much have, maybe 5 doesn't really follow this, and 6 is so fucking weird, but they all kind of start off like a little bit horror-y.
Yeah.
And then, like, by about the halfway point, it just, like, it's gone batshit bananas.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know.
You're in, like, underground labs, and, you know, you're fighting giant monsters, and you're super powerful by then, too, because you've gotten the rocket launcher, or the grenade launchers, or, like, you know, machine guns or stuff. Like, you're no longer just, like, worrying about your pistol and, oh shit, like, do I take a shot at this zombie here and not have any ammo?
Yeah,
by, like, the end, you have, you're plenty fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a fun, interesting game.
I loved it a lot. I wanted to play it again as soon as I was done. If there weren't, like, all of a sudden a bunch of games coming out, I probably would have started it again. Did you get to try any of the mercenaries?
I don't like it. I don't like
it. And you didn't like it.
Yeah, I played mercenaries in the past and thought it was fine. Like, I mean, you know, it's wave based or time based. Basically, like, it's not even a horde mode. It's just like kill X amount of zombies or get X amount of items and then move to the exit. I did not enjoy what I tried of this. I could not get past, much like you, like, I couldn't get past into the second area.
Yeah, like, I kept getting an A or a B.
Yeah.
Or I forgot, you need like an A or something, right?
Yeah, I think you need an A, and I kept getting a B, and it's like, it's not very, doesn't do a good job of explaining what you need to do to get an A. Like, oh, do I need to kill these faster? Do I need to up my combo? Like, what do I need to do? And it doesn't really kind of point you on that. And I think the combat is fine in Village or 8 or whatever we're calling it today. But it's not great. Like, it's not best controlling first person shooter.
Yeah. I think that mode works better with third person.
Yeah.
I also, like, you know, I agree with you that, one thing about this game, or like the direction of the series now, is like, it just works better, like, in general in third person. Like, I wish that 7 and 8 were third person games that just kind of played like Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Yeah.
But, I, you know, that said, I still think like this is, it's like top half of the series for me. Like it's certainly below the best ones, but it's still liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's a very good Resident Evil. And that's like, that's something I will say about it. I said this last week, is that it feels more like a Resident Evil game than 7 did.
Yeah.
Like I really liked 7, but 7 felt like we tacked on some like Resident Evil shit to this pretty cool first person horror game, where this, like, straight away after you get to the castle, you're solving like puzzles, you're getting items to connect together and moving statues, and like it felt like a Resident Evil. You know, and it does, you know, it moves around a little bit. There's the you know, I can't, the Benvenuto, it's like the manor there where you're all your weapons are taken away, and it's a little more designed to be a little more tense, and it feels a little less like that, but like it's still puzzle based, and that's what Resident Evil's always been. It's been kind of like funky action, item management, and goofy puzzles. And this brings some of that back, where I don't think 7 had that as much. It was more, find the key. Oh, you found the key. Good, you can move to the next area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would generally agree. I liked it more than 7, for sure.
Yeah. And it is up there on my list for this year so far.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I mean, I don't know how we're viewing Bowser's Fury, like Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury are in my number one slot currently.
I'd put it above Bowser's Fury, for sure.
As a package together, like I have that package higher than Resident, but just above it, so.
Mm. I put Resident Evil.
It's good stuff. Yeah. So.
I forgot Bowser's Fury happened. So you just said it. I was like, oh yeah.
I did like that thing.
It was good.
I mean, I will say this. I don't think it's been a great year so far for games.
So far.
We're only in May.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the problem with saying we're only in May, though, is like, yeah, it's like, and then it's like, where are those other games going to come from?
Right.
I don't know.
We have games coming, then there are games that are out. Jeff's playing some. Biomutant next week. Like,
yeah.
Ratchet.
I'm generally, like, I'd say up until the last couple of weeks, pretty dead. But I'd say, like, right now, I've gone from, like, nothing to do to, like, one, way too many movies to watch. Like,
I will say that has felt weird just going back to having all of these like reviews coming out for stuff and having like a backlog of movies, because like Spyro came out last week, but Army of Dead is tomorrow, Quiet Place is soon.
Yeah, it's like every week there's a new movie, and Netflix also dropping like a movie or two every week.
I'm like,
some of which are good.
They have that Fair Street, which is what, a 3-week event where it's like three different movies in 3 weeks in a row.
Looks pretty cool.
I'm just over here like, I gotta watch the Angelina Jolie Firefighter movie tonight because Army of the Dead's coming out, and then I want to see Saint Maud before this comes. Like, I'm just like, I can't. I'm not used to this. I'm used to like having to scrape the fucking bottom of the barrel to find some resin to smoke or something here. I'm like,
I enjoyed Those Who Wish Me Dead. I think that's the name of the movie.
I just watched it. Yeah,
and that it's a throwback to an era of
definitely is
of movies we don't really get anymore.
Yeah,
the adult blockbuster.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying we necessarily need them. It's something we do not get that often.
It was fine.
I mean, I'm with you 100%, Earl. I thought that movie was, you know, it was just okay. But yeah, I'm with I'm behind that sentiment of like, I wish there was more stuff like that for sure.
Yeah,
it is a very weird movie, like coming from that writer, because like, I just, it doesn't feel like his other stuff really, but whatever.
I don't like he, from what I can gather, he wrote what, Sicario,
Wind River.
Okay, so I have seen Wind River. I was like, I don't think I've seen anything by him, but
Hell or High Water, like. Yeah, a very good movie, and you know, this just feel like, you know, I remember watching Hell or High Water and like just being like, one, I'm like, this guy can write dialogue, like he's, you know, great snappy lines, and there's like none of that in this. It's just like
there is a line that, and it broke my HBO Max app because I was like, I don't know, I was kind of fading a little bit. It starts out a little bit slow, so I wasn't fully paying attention, and it cuts to them right before the lightning scene in that movie,
mm-hmm.
Where they're walking and she's like telling the kid like a tongue twister or something. Like it was like fuckity fuck fuck or fuck.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I was like,
I had the subtitles on, but it sounded like they were just saying fuckity fuck 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 fuck.
Right.
So like they were not.
She was actually saying something.
Yeah,
it was kind of cute. But yeah, I was saying that. Like that reminded me very much. Not necessarily as good. But any of you ever seen the Harrison Ford movie Witness?
Yeah.
I have not.
It reminded me of that, where it's like this, like, you know, protective kid from some, I mean, really, to be honest, worst hitman in the world.
Yes.
Because I was like, how did Pittman not like the, okay, my favorite character in the movie is the pregnant lady.
Oh, she's great. She's fantastic. Super badass. Like,
but I'm like, yeah, you're gonna be your ass by a pregnant woman. Like they give them an out because that one dude doesn't want to do it, and I get that, but I'm also just like, yeah, this is just pitiful.
There was a I don't know, we're going too long on this, but there was a part where Angelina Jolie's fighting, I think Nicholas Holt is the guy, and she like fucking buries a fucking axe in his foot, and he get no reaction from him. He's still fighting just fine. He just keeps going. I'm like, dude, if he got a fucking axe in the foot, you'd be like, first of all, you'd scream, and you'd be fucking hurt. Like, I know it's like a weird thing to be a nitpick, but, huh?
You wouldn't be able to plant your foot to punch.
Yeah. Yeah, like the scene just kept going just fine. Like I'm like, okay, and like, you know, of course, like they're like 10 feet from like this raging fire, and everyone's just like totally all fine. Right.
I know you just told me went on too long, but I gotta talk about that fire for a second, because all of a sudden, like after she you know finishes off the guy at the end, and they start running. It's like all of a sudden it like, becomes like a fucking tidal wave.
I'm sure that probably happens like that though. Like with those, I mean, I've never been in a wildfire like that, but like
it just looked amazing.
It looks like hysterical. It's literally chasing them.
Yes.
Like you know, great. It's just like sliding down this like you know whatever like cliff type thing, and the fire's just like right up their ass.
That is a movie I kind of wish that I had. I mean, it was out in theaters, but
Favorite part is you're pointing it the wrong way. No, I'm not.
Yeah, with the from the fire. Yeah,
was good. Yes, that was pretty good. I don't know.
She was good.
I can't sit here and say it was a good movie, but I didn't hate it. Like I was like,
it's entertaining enough.
Be entertained.
Entertaining.
Yeah.
Yes.
Angelina Jolie, too, I think is still, like, she's not, like, the hottest thing on Earth ever, like she was 20 years ago, but she's still Angelina Jolie, so.
Yeah. And then what is, not to drag out movie talk much longer, but I think The Conjuring comes out, like.
That comes out, Memorial Day, A Quiet Place 2 comes out Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
The Conjuring 2 comes out the weekend. So Memorial Day is Monday. Comes out that Friday.
So that's like the next HBO.
Yes.
HBO it's, movie.
Doing is pretty good.
Conjuring is?
Yeah, because they have The Conjuring, and then they have In the Heights like the week after.
In the Heights on HBO?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, HBO was, I mean, I'm hoping In the Heights comes out good, and I'm hoping The Conjuring is good, but their lineup is at least entertaining. Like,
yeah. And, I mean, honestly speaking, if I'm already paying for it, why the heck not?
Exactly. Yeah, well, they might as well use that subscription for something.
I was gonna say, honestly speaking, I was a little disappointed when I found that Spiral and A Quiet Place don't have those. They don't have alternatives. Like, even Disney does, like, the premier access.
Mm-hmm.
So with A Quiet Place 2, you have, crap, what is it called? You can do, they're going to, it's a 45-day theatrical window, so it will be on Paramount Plus in July.
Yeah, so I heard that. You can
wait for it. It's not so bad, but
I have no problem going to the theater, but if I'm being 1,000% honest, it's a horrible thing for me to say as a movie guy. If you give me the option to watch it at home for free, I'm not moving my ass. like
I can see that. Yes. For free. Yes. I will say that I did return to the theater to see Spiral. And I mean, it was a mix of both the best and the worst aspects of going to the theater. Got the
movie going experience, man.
But yeah, but like seeing somebody like, and it was just in the trailer, but like seeing somebody like just like yell out something and get like a laugh from the crowd, like you don't get that at home.
No, you don't. And I will say, I think one of the things I've noticed, even though I enjoyed it, I think Godzilla vs. Kong, I think Wonder Woman, and I think Mortal Kombat all suffered for the fact that they are clearly theatrical movies. Where there are certain moments that are big, like, holy shit, that happened, and the theater would erupt. And it's like, it does not end the same at home when you're just watching, like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, I think of, like, with Godzilla vs. Kong, I think of, like, the axe, like, when they team up together. Spoilers, my bad. and that doesn't happen, but that's a big moment. And I think the same thing with Mortal Kombat, like, when Raiden shows up, or, like, when Kano says, draw his victory. Like, that's a very like fanboy thing. That's a very like, if you're a Mortal Kombat fan, you get a yes from that.
Yeah.
And at home, I enjoyed it, but I'm like, yeah, it's kind of lame to just say it on my own.
Yeah. The one movie I know, like, it's surprising nobody, like, I would go to the theater see no matter what, is probably Halloween. I don't know, though. Like, again, you give me the option, I'm just like,
well, I mean, by the time
I can sit here and drink beer and not leave the house.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, right. And then for me, like, I invested in a new TV and sound system.
Yeah, it's like,
specifically for the HBO Max stuff. So, like, yes, I'm going to, like, yeah, it's cheaper to invest in this now.
How come that Angelina Jolie movie was not 4K and Dolby Atmos and all that? It was just fucking straight up regular HD.
I imagine it's probably because it wasn't.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah.
Because you have to realize, like, some of these movies are, like, it's an adult blockbuster. Like, they probably weren't expecting, you know, like, it's not going to do a DC number. It's not going to do Godzilla versus Kong.
I would just assume that any movie now would be in 4K, like, would be shot in 4K, but maybe not.
Even movies that are in 4K aren't necessarily shot in 4K. Yeah. A lot of them are upscale from, like, 2K.
Yeah. But yeah, like, it's a lot of movies right now. Like, I'm like, not used to, you know, it's been a year of it being pretty dry, and then games kind of too. Like, I bought $60 games 3 weeks in a row, and a surprise $30 game that I had no idea was coming out. Like, that's the other thing. When you look at, like, later into the year, you don't know what surprises are going to drop like that, the things you don't even know exist yet. So,
yeah, what $30? What surprise game did you get, I should say?
Baldur's Gate.
Oh, right.
I had no lead up at all. It was just like a trailer, and it was like out, available now, and it was like available the next day after. Well, on most of the system.
did it ever hit Switch?
It hit Switch today.
No. 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
That was such a weird rollout, yes. I remember. Because not even the Switch version, because it was like, oh, okay, like the Xbox version's up, but the PlayStation, we're having issues with the PlayStation, and I think like the PlayStation 4 version was up, and then like the Switch version, like you said, was delayed, and it's like,
it really feels like they just decided the day before that, like, hey, we have this, we could just throw this out, right? Like, and then put a $30 price tag on it,
which is still a bit extreme.
It's, I mean, I love that game. It's too much if you're not going to do anything with it, which they did not.
Yeah. Because it's $30 less than Mass Effect Legendary Edition, and they did do something with that. Plus repackaged Mass Effect 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And I think they upscaled them as well in that. So they did a little more work than Baldur's Gate did.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know where we're going. We had plenty of segues there, but I'm not going to take the exit ramp if you guys aren't. I'll talk about movies for another half hour if you want.
I was going to say, just before segue out of movie talk again, did you folks see the trailer for the Resident Evil TV show?
I'm not really...
I assume it's a TV show. I don't know if it's a TV show or a movie.
Is that the Netflix thing that comes out in July? Yeah,
Infinite Darkness or something like that.
I thought that was just another film, but if it's a TV show, I'm okay with that as well. It looks pretty good. I'm in for watching that.
I'm in for whatever that rebooted movie is going to be. I'll check that out.
I'm in for that nonsense as well.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I don't get into animated fucking adaptation, whatever the fuck you want to call that stuff. Like, it's too many stuff, so much stuff as there is anyways. But I did not. I knew that there was a new Netflix thing coming, but I just, you know.
I think the trailer dropped for it this week.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, but it looks okay. As yeah, I'm kind of with you, Jeff. Like, I don't love. I do like animation, but
never saw those Final Fantasies either.
Sure. Depends on which one you're talking about. You mean seeing of them, so you're probably better off. But Spirits Within is terrible. Advent Children is something.
I mean, I'm not even.
What about games? So. What is that? What is the most recent one called?
Oh, the one for Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, King's Glaive.
Yeah, I seen that as well. Yeah,
that was a lot of movie. I watched that, and I feel like it just kept on going on, and I'm just like, and then I'm like, I don't know where any of this fits into, because it came out before the game.
Yeah, it came out before the game, and it's a prequel of sorts.
It is, but it isn't, because none of the characters, I think, are from the actual game.
No, none of them are. Like, the king is, which is, what's his name? Pretty Boy Prince's dad, who I can't remember his name right now. The king is in it, but only briefly.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh, okay. And then again, it came out before, so like, you have no context for it. It's like you're a tie-in that comes out before the product you're a tie-in for. And yeah, it was something. It was something for sure.
Yes, it was definitely something. When is that Resident Evil live action, like the one you just mentioned, Jeff? Is that later this year?
It's supposedly this year, yeah. I mean, I don't think we've seen anything from it. So,
and that's a reboot, right? It's
yeah. I think so, yeah.
I still think
I think it's supposed rewatch. To actually. I think they're claiming that it's supposed to actually be close to the game, because
I remember seeing like a quote from the director or something. He was like, "Oh, I'm trying to draw from the first two games or whatever." It's like,
and I assume the director,
how true that is.
I assume the director is not putting in his wife.
maybe not. I don't know. I will give the Resident Evil movies this, like, they are something else. Like, they took that. I think I legitimately like the first movie, and I've seen the rest of them.
I
have the whole set on Blu-ray.
I watched them all during quarantine.
No, I was saying, like you were saying.
No, like I they're kind of like a Star Trek, except the reverse, where like I think the even numbered ones aren't good.
Yeah, I think the odd ones tend to be good. I don't mind how it ends.
Yeah, it's fine.
But yes, I would prefer watching 1, 3, and 5 over 2, 4, for sure. But yes, so and then we have the new. I mean, Resident Evil is getting itself out there. I say that as it's not a franchise that's 25 years old this year. So, you know, that young whippersnapper.
Yeah. Hello. All right. Let's do this, Jeff. Mass Effect.
Yeah. In honor of Tony.
You played the most of it. I've only played Eden Prime, so
I did not expect to, like, I just thought this is one of those things I was gonna buy this collection out of like some sense of duty, like, oh, it's a good game, like I should have that in my collection, maybe I'll fuck with it, and like, you know, and I have not played these games since they came out, you know, so I played the first one when that came out, the second one when the second one more than once. I've played that probably 3 or 4 times, right? But I've not touched this first one since 2007. And I'm thinking that they did a lot here because it holds up really well. Like, I'm super into it. I don't know about you, man, but like, it's a great RPG. Like, it's fucking awesome.
They have done a lot, and you might not notice it up front. Because Mass Effect 2 and 3, really good. Yeah, well, there's that, like, visually they definitely touched it up. Lots of nice lens flare going on, so somebody's
the frame rate and everything.
Yeah. But they've so the original leveling system was to 60. They've broken that down. It's a, you know, if you choose the legendary edition, the leveling is a little bit faster. It's only 30. Use
the old leveling.
Yep. Yeah. You can use the old pretty much everything. Because you can put the old Mako controls on if you want. You know, if you're Sean. I don't know if he did, but he liked the old Mako controls, so.
I mean, I don't remember. I remember it handling pretty rough. This thing kinda handles like a lighter Warthog or whatever. Like, it's, I don't know. It works. It's, I love exploring in it. Like, it's making me go, like, because they do make you get around in it quite a bit, and you even do some combat and stuff in it, and it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to feel like I miss this when I get to part 2 now. Like, when you played part 2 back in the day, it was like, oh, they got rid of the thing that was broken, and now it's like,
but didn't part 2 also have a vehicle though?
I don't remember. I thought that they like eliminated the Mako entirely. Maybe there was
a vehicle. And part 2, it didn't have the vehicle part. You did the planet scanning.
Okay, so they must have brought it back in 3.
There
was a vehicle again. You do drive a vehicle again in the series, but it controls. It controls like an actual car, not like whatever the Mako was originally.
It can't be, because I don't remember this. Like, this is featured pretty prominently in the game. Like, it's a good 20% of the game, maybe. You know, like, it's fucking around that Mako, and it's just like, I don't know. The other night, like, I was like, I don't want to progress in the story anymore. I'm going to do all my things on the assignments tab. Like, and I just started going through it, and every one of them would be like, dropping your Mako onto some planet and you fucking like roll across the planet looking for the bad guys that you're supposed to kill. And before you go and run inside of a base and kill shit, like on the outside of the base, you're in your Mako like blowing shit up. And it's like, I don't know. It's a blast, dude. Like, I really love it. So good on them for fixing that a bit, but
you have the hammerhead in Mass Effect 2.
I don't remember, and I've played that one actually. Like I said, I've played that one several times.
It's not. I don't think you just use it on planets that like kind of require you to have some sort of shielding to explore, and you don't do as much exploring in Mass Effect 2 on the ground.
Yeah.
No, because they had that fantastic scanning, which is just as much of a pain.
Yeah, that scanning kind of sucked. I do wish they had fixed that. I think they did eventually patch it so it's faster. So maybe there's that. Yeah, I think the combat now, Jeff, is a little more. It's a little closer to Mass Effect 2 and 3 handled.
Well, I watched a video with some of the differences, and it's like, yeah, they did work. Like they did little things that you might not even notice with like just the HUD, like the way it presents information to you is a lot clearer now.
Mm-hmm.
They reduced cooldowns on using your health. So here you could, you know, there's a cooldown on using the health pack thing or whatever.
The Medigel.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know, 10 seconds as opposed to like, I was watching this video. It's like, it looks like it would take a couple minutes at least. So if you're in a tight spot, it gets really bad. Even if you have healths, like you're kind of fucked. You know what I mean? It's like a minor thing, but all these minor things, like, it's like they just went through it with a scalpel and we're just like, all right, we're going to fix this. We're going to fix that. And of course the whole new like kind of paint job on it. Like it's not like a ground up remake, but like you can kind of tell it's an older game, but god damn, like most of the time it looks really fucking great. Just the, like how it runs so smooth. How about those load times, or I should say like lack of load times. It's just like instant everywhere. It's fucking, at least on the Series X, it's like,
yeah, I do wonder what that looks like on a regular Xbox. I should load that up on my Xbox, my Xbox One that wasn't an X.
It's so quick, dude. Like, it's just like you're going to another planet. It's like loading up this whole new level and everything, and it's like so instant. It's like amazing how fast it is. Like that. You know, everyone remembers like the elevator rides. They're still all like in here, but it's like you could basically skip them, like make them go by super quick. I don't know, man. They took a game that was like probably great to begin with anyways, but had like these like flaws and just like really smoothed it out and made it feel like this feels pretty modern. Like it feels like, you know, for a game that's what, 14 years old almost? Yeah.
Yep.
It's better than a lot of recent RPGs I've played, so I'm loving it quite a bit. How about you? Like,
well, I only played through what is basically the prologue, but Eden Prime takes about an hour.
Okay.
It's at that first location that you land with. What's his name? Niels, or the Turian. From the Spectre, Nihlus. Is that his name, or is that who you're chasing? No, you're chasing Saren. Nihlus, Nihlus is the guy. So you land with him, and he kind of goes off and does his own thing. And that's you're down there with your team. One of your teammates dies, and that's when you get introduced to shitty Ashley.
Everybody seems to dislike her.
Yeah,
I roll with her sometimes. I do girl squad, man. I'm girl squad. I got Femme Shep, and she Ashley has good combat abilities.
Yeah, like that's the thing, right? Like she is a shitty character. She's a shitty person character type thing.
Yeah,
but she's useful. Like in the game, like where I never, what is it, Caden? Is that his name? Your other human partner kind of just sucks all around.
Like, yeah,
he's dull. He's not. Of course he was.
At first, I was like, "Yeah, good," and then I was like, "You know what? I need to read up on who I could romance in this. And it's actually pretty limited romance options in part one. It's straight
romance only. So
it's like you could romance, like as FemShep, you could romance him or you could romance Liara.
Okay. So
anyone can romance Liara. And So I was like, fuck this guy. I'm going for Liara now. And so now I'm like starting to pursue her and she's like already super interested in you. Like from what I read, it's like, it's not only can male or female Shep romance Liara, it's like pretty easy to romance her. Like she's like generally interested in whoever the commander is.
Somebody's after power.
I think she's interested in the fact that like you're human, like
but also I think Earl's right, like because did you guys ever play Shadow Broker?
I don't think so. Like is that like, DLC?
Yeah, I think it's DLC for 2, which people consider like one of the better ones, but like in as the story goes on, even into 2 and 3. Without the DLC, like you learn that she like becomes like this sort of information broker of sorts, and she's always pumping you for information. So like, it would make sense that she'd want to get in deep with the commander of a ship.
Well, the way they're playing it, at least in part one, is like she's just fascinated by humans, and since I'm the human player, then I'm gonna bone her
into you. Yeah.
Like she's just like, oh, I don't understand you humans. You humans are so weird. The way you guys like your humor doesn't make sense to me. You know what I mean? And she's just like fascinated. So I'm all over that.
She's like one of the last one. She's like one of the last people you run across, right?
Like, I think so. It's hard to. It's like all a jumble already. Like maybe her or Tally. So usually when I roll out now, it's with Liara and Tally, because like then I have a biotic and I have a tech. I feel like I have to have Tally at all times because she has the decryption, and it's like you need that to open shit. Like it's just like
yeah,
you're gonna miss so much loot in the game if you don't have someone who like my character, because I'm a Vanguard, I think, or whatever. It's like I don't have a decryption skill. Like I can't level up to open things.
Oh, right. I forgot the first one's actually pretty hardcore RPG.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And they really just kind of ignore that with the sequels. They can still do it, but it's not as...
You're not locked into that class, right? Like, you can kind of build outwards and do whatever you want.
Your class does evolve in this one, but it's like, it's very much, you know, there's certain things you could do, and, you know... Tech isn't one of them I think that's what I am as a Vanguard.
It's very much that era of BioWare. Like, you know, they're coming off of creating, Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, Icewind Dale, Planescape, like coming off of like Black Isle stuff that they worked on. And then like making pretty hardcore PC RPGs where your class is very rigid. And like, did you guys play Dragon Age Origins, the first Dragon Age game?
I did. I don't remember much.
It's just very like you're very rigid on like you're the dwarf and like this is what the dwarf can do.
Yeah,
you're the human or the ranger or whatever. Like very rigid, which is kind of what Mass Effect follows, and then 2 is like we want to expand this to include more people.
Yeah, I dig. Like, I have a feeling. I don't know. We'll see how it goes for me. Like, it, you know, the consensus always was and seems to still be that 2 is the best. But there was always those people that were like, no, it's actually 1. Like, I could see myself becoming one of those people because
I think 1 is the better RPG.
Yeah,
2 is the better game,
I think, because two focuses more on the side. Like it focuses more on the characters, which I find. Yeah. I find the characters much more interesting than like the overall world shot of the franchise. Mm-hmm. And I think 2 has, because again, 2 has a finality, but it doesn't have a finality in the sense that like, this is the end of the series. So it can focus on the characters And like, yeah, there's a plot, but like, I always joke that it's like the best getting together game in terms of like, oh, okay, we're gonna form a team, Avengers or something like that. Because like, because you're doing that so much, the actual mechanics of getting, the actual mechanics of the story aren't that great, because you spend so much time trying to you spend so much time recruiting characters and then doing the characters' loyalty missions that by the time you get to the story, it's like, oh, here's the suicide mission.
Yeah, like the actual plot is like, it's pretty much revealed right from the beginning. This is what you have to do, and like the main game is basically get your team together and go do that. It just takes 25 hours to do that. Whereas Mass Effect 1 is more like the, you know, you're chasing down Saren, you're doing like this kind of, why did he betray the hell do they call it here? It's not the Alliance, right? It's
maybe.
Yeah. It's like whatever the group of, you know, the you know,
why did, or...
yeah, why did the, like, the greatest Spectre ever, Saren, like, why did he betray us? And it's like the kind of this mystery, but it's less about putting your team together. It's more about like exploring the galaxy. So I could see where there's the division between the two. I'd probably still go two, but one is a great game in itself.
Both better than three.
Sure.
Okay, so if I remember correctly, 3's big problem was really just how it ended, or does it have more issues?
I remember the last couple hours of gameplay being not my favorite thing ever.
Yeah, it's a lot of like, so where 2 is like, get your team together, like 3 is like, go visit everybody before they all die. and then like all these choices that you've made, starting in 1, they don't really pay off in the way like they do, like they're given resolutions, but it's never as big as what you'd think. And
kind of the Telltale games where it's like,
yes,
we can only make these in such finite ways. Like, you had all these choices, but it's going to be a very, like, were you friends with them? Then you get this and you get that.
Exactly.
We're going to merge all the lanes back.
And that's always going to be an issue, because you are ultimately in BioWare's story. You're just like, they're trying as they can to make you think that you have any say.
I just think, I do think that like the more interesting route is to try to really write out multiple ways, and like, who cares the story you want to tell? I think that the Outer Worlds does like a closer job of letting that happen, because like, that, like, the way that ends could go way different ways, like, and they're just like, that's how it ended, you know. Like, I guess if you're gonna do a sequel to, you know, that makes it hard, because it's like, well, you know,
because if you're gonna do a sequel, you just go like, this is, I mean, you see that all the time in games, right? They give multiple endings or whatever. It's like, this is the canon decision line. That might not have been your experience, but this is where, you know, us as storytellers are picking this up at.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do like an Outer Worlds 2.
They let you end it really different, you know what I mean? So it's like,
I was gonna say, I guess that's where you find out, because I think they announced this week that it did so well that they're that serious. So
cool. I like that game.
Yeah. Mass Effect Legendary Edition seems pretty good. I mean, you're definitely enjoying it, Jeff. I liked what I played of it.
It's like, I always remember loving the Mass Effect series, but like, I never got like some people, so it's like, I haven't touched these in so long. So I was like wondering. I thought I would just go in and tinker with it and go, oh, that's cool. But like, no, it's like, I'm like fully invested. I'm totally going to play through probably all of them. I don't know if I'll do 1, 2, 3 in a row, depending on how games go for the next month or so when my time goes. I know, like, if I'm not done with 3 when Dark Alliance comes out, see ya, part 3. I'm playing Dark Alliance and some Mario Golf, you know.
You can always come back to 3.
Yeah, it could be, like, this thing that I pick up throughout the year to finish it. Like,
and I'm like... Good strategy, especially I think it would also help to kind of breed some, like, have the decisions kind of rest for a bit. If that makes sense.
I am interested in I kind of like want to at least play 1 and 2 back to back. So, like, because I've never had that experience of playing through all 3 to, like, see the difference, like, see how much things carry over, you know, the changes that they made between the games and all that. Like, I think it would just be interesting to play them all in a row and have them all fresh in your mind so you can definitively go, I like this one because of this, and, you know. Because, you know, I played them as they were spread out by a couple of years each, and it's like, I don't remember, you know what I mean? Like, played, like, fucking 100 games since then, like.
Yeah, but I don't, like, I mean, you could stop and play golf or Baldur's Gate in between, or Dark Alliance, yeah, whatever.
It's all going to be. It's all gonna be, like, on the same year.
So yeah, like, you come back to it, and then, like, you know, when there's a, you know, another little rush of games, you play them, and then return to 3 or whatever.
I mean, we'll see. It's like, that shit is, you know, it's like a month away before those next games. But at the same time, I'm gonna be on vacation, and, you know, gonna be a little busy with stuff. So we'll see. And I am being very careful to, like, I'm trying not to rush through 1. I'm trying to make sure to go do any sort of, like, side missions I could find. I don't want to, like, burn through the 3 games just because I have them all there. Like, I'm really enjoying 1, so I want to soak 1 in as much as possible. So,
yeah, do it. Enjoy.
It's good. I'm very happy with that purchase. And it was, like, one of those ones where I was like, why am I buying this? Am I really going to play this? Turns out, yes, I am.
Yeah, and it's one of the, I think, one of the better packages of, you know, collection. So,
I mean, part of the reason I was on the fence is because, like, you could play all the games on Game Pass. Like, you could play all the old ones. So I was like, do you really need this? And I'm here to say you do. Like, it, like, I don't know.
It's improved the original, yeah, in a way that makes it
worth it.
I think a, yeah, better experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, something I hope is a better experience is, so I guess news hit that, or some screenshots hit from Double Fine of Psychonauts 2 this week. And my God, I hope that game is better than the original Psychonauts.
Ooh.
It's not, you know, I don't love 3D platformers like some people, but I like them. You know, I love, you know, Mario games and Ratchet and Clank. And this is fine, but it has some, like, really, like, old school adventure vibes to it that is, like,
you mean, like, the first one, or
yeah, the first yeah. Psychonauts. It has, like, some very old school, like, it's not quite, like, you know, put a chicken and a rope together type shit, but there's some goofy nonsense going on, like, puzzle wise. It's not straight platforming. It's not straight combat. There's just some weird stuff you need to kind of work through, and the game doesn't do a good job of really directing you and how to accomplish that. There's supposed to be this guy you can call, and he'll give you a hint, but half the time he's useless.
Are you playing this right now or something?
Yeah. So, like, I'm trying to play it, and it's just not great.
I'll come right out and say it. I never liked
it. You never liked Psychonauts at all?
Never liked it. Like, it's an awesome idea. Like, it's an awesome concept. But,
yeah, I mean, I love the idea of, like, this kids' camp where they're all, like, paranormal, like, psychic power people.
But it's like, we know people that, like, really love that game, and I'm like, I don't know. I do love 3D platformers, but it's just like, I never found even the platforming in it to be.
I don't think the platforming is great.
Like, the level design and the platforming are both kind of.
And I think that's my problem with Double Fine games in general is
yeah.
They're Their writing is top notch. I think like their humor is good. They have good concepts for their stories and for their worlds, but the gameplay is always kind of like a step or two behind. And I don't know. I'm playing it for Video Game Club with Dexter and Javi and those guys, and I do not love it, but we'll see. I should finish it up.
That shit for me. Tell them Jeff said it was bad.
I will let them know. I may also say it was bad, even though it's Javi's wife's favorite game of all time.
Evidently. That's what I was kind of referring to. I'm like, I know how much she loves it.
Yeah, Rachel is she loves that game, but I'm struggling with it, and it's I don't know.
It's not. I don't know. I'm never gonna like. You know, if someone loves something, whatever, it's fine.
You know, it's like I get why you would like it, and like there are things that like maybe I am looking for different things out of it. And it's just like, okay, the jumping isn't as good as this. Like there's like rail grinding kind of like in Ratchet, right? But it's just doesn't feel as good. Like when you rail grind in Ratchet on the power lines or the wires, like there's whole sequences set up for that, and it just feels. It feels good to jump between the different poles and the different wires. And in this one, it's just like, it feels stiff. And
yeah.
And evidently, like the version I'm playing is one of the better versions. The Xbox version is one of the better ones. Like the PlayStation 2 version is evidently garbage.
Yeah, I seem to remember that. I think I do have the Xbox version. Like I could download it. I think, but I just
it's on Game Pass now. If like you're interested in trying it again, it's there. But
I mean, I've tried to give it a chance. I've never finished it, but I've tried multiple times. I've you know owned it before on I think PS2. And just never. Sorry, Psychonauts fans. Sorry,
yeah,
about it. Just never did it for me.
I don't
Voodoo
think
Vince is better.
What was that?
I said Voodoo Vince is better.
Oh, I don't have that one. I should try that.
It's on Xbox. You download it.
The I think my problem with Psychonauts is just like it doesn't do anything particularly great and. I would rather be playing other platformers. It just
and I don't play better. I don't play those games for like the writing and the humor. And it's like that's the strength of it. So it's just like,
yeah,
you know, I'm just like I don't care about any of this. And the gameplay and the level design are just kind of you know very of that era and very I think middle of the road of that era kind of. So I don't know.
Yeah, like I mean, it was published by Majesco. And it kind of feels like that. Like I mean, not to like throw shade at Majesco, but like they were B tier games, and that's what this kind of feels like.
Yeah, Majesco was at least B tier for most of their existence. Are they like, still around?
I don't think so. But yeah, it's like where I would rather just play like Ratchet or Sly Cooper or which are all like of that same era, and I just feel that they're better games. So,
agreed.
Sunshine. I would rather play Mario Sunshine than Psychonauts, and I don't like Sunshine. Yeah. So,
fuck yeah.
Let's see. I got two other quick ones. I picked up a pair of games today. Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl.
You got that?
I did. I'm kind of regretting it.
Why do I remember that game coming out like 3 years ago?
I think it came out last year on Switch.
Okay, so this is that game from the Switch, and it's on
Xbox. It's now on Xbox. It is a NES style brawler.
Yeah.
8-bit styled brawler, and it is hard like an 8-bit style brawler. and I'm not particularly good at it. If you die, if you like if you lose both Jay and Bob, game is over. I haven't figured out, like, there doesn't seem to be a way to get extra lives, or if there is, I haven't figured that out. it's just you're in the mall. It seems to take place right after the events of Mallrats, where you screwed up that game show. Jay and Silent Bob, like, they kind of crashed that game show at the end of Mallrats, and you're trying to escape the mall now. And you're being attacked by security guards and people in hockey jerseys. And it's basically, you know, a Kevin Smith nostalgia trip, I guess.
Wait, Kevin Smith relies on nostalgia?
I was like, we haven't had enough of that.
Right, yeah, it's like that's all that he kind of does, and that's what this is, so... I don't know, I've got to the second level. It's like, this is really hard. I will continue to try. I don't know how many levels there are. I do want to beat up Mubi, the golden cow, because that's an achievement. I haven't found him yet, so... but yeah, I maybe, unless you're like a really big fan of like Nintendo brawlers, 8-bit brawlers, maybe stay away from that one.
Yeah, I'm a Kevin Smith fan, but I don't really love that genre like I did as a kid.
Yeah, and like coming off of like Streets of Rage 4 last year.
I'm a fan of the genre. I feel like it's, yeah, the genre has evolved now. Because yeah, a lot of them don't hold up because they were, I mean, for lack of a better term, they were quarter grubbers. Like, they were designed a certain way. And I think Streets of Rage and, like, Battletoads, even though I don't know if it were, you know, designed with, like, oh, these are actual games that we need to work out from start to bottom.
Yes. And I think Mall Brawl is more like, oh, let's mimic that error to a T without advancing it. Like the only advancement I think there is that, like, if you complete the level, it will save your progress there. So like I got to level 2. So when I go back in, I have a save file that I can start at level 2. That's it. That's the advancement. I would say if you're a fan of brawlers, just wait for Ninja Turtles later.
I mean, in general,
Ninja Turtles looks like it'll be a lot of fun. So, the other game that I also picked up was it's a platformer called Aerial Knights Never Yield. It is an auto runner, so your guy is always moving forward, but it is level based, and you are jumping and kind of doing parkour and sliding under objects. And it's pretty challenging. It is, I mean, I wouldn't say it's like, saying it's pretty challenging is maybe giving it a little too much. You have to kind of learn where things are to jump around, and you got to learn the controls because they're kind of color coded. So once you learn the color coding of, you know, red means jump over, yellow means, do a flip, purple means slide, blue means dash. Like, if you kind of like figure out the color coding pattern, you'll be able to make your way through the levels. But it is like really cool looking and has like an awesome soundtrack to it. It is not stylish in the way that that game we played, Jeff. I'm drawing a blank on it with the Queen Latifah did the voiceover for it.
Oh, so I know. Wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's stylish like that, but it's a different style of game where that was kind of like an on rails shooter. This is an auto runner.
Queen Latifah did the voiceover on Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Yeah. She's the narrator.
She's the narrator.
I had no idea. Yeah. My game of the year. I don't even know what
to talk about. I ask you that, and you would have no idea what I'm talking about anyway. But glad Earl knew. You're like, what the hell are you talking about, man?
Great game.
Yeah, the music in Aerial Knights Never Yield is like very, very awesome. And the visuals, it has like a really cool visual style to it. I saw somebody I follow on Twitter was posting about it today, including the she was retweeting the Ariel Knight, the guy who made it, was retweeting him, and
I'm happy for him, but it's an endless runner. It has a lot of style, but it's still just an endless runner.
Kind of. I mean, it ends, right? Like, it's level based, so
yes.
But yeah, it is an auto runner where you will get to an end point and it ends. There's a narrative in some sense to it. I haven't really figured out what the story is other than you are running. But it looks really cool. It sounds really cool. I think it's like $10, so it's not a giant investment, and I'm having fun with it.
How much is it,
Earl? I think I got it for like maybe just a little over $10, like $11 maybe.
Because I wanted to pick it up, but I paid the demo, and it's like really stylish. It's an endless runner, but you also you duck and you dodge, but you also have like that side move, and I think that side move is kind of cool. But yeah, I was just like, this is just an endless runner, and I can get most of them on my phone for free. This one just has more style than most of them do.
Yeah, it is normally $12. It is on sale on both Steam and
Twitch,
Twitch and Xbox for $10.79. So it's a special promotion, launch promotion, I guess, being a little bit. And if I guess you can also buy it on Steam with the soundtrack for $13. So seems cool. I don't know. I'm enjoying it. So, but yes, it is very simplistic in its nature.
Yes, but again, very stylish. And honestly speaking, the reason I want to buy it, and I probably will end up buying it, is because it is an independent game from, I think, two black designers. One did the game, one did the music. And, you know, you don't get many of that, and you want to encourage them to keep on making games.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they are just one person or two people, that is really cool. Because there's a lot of style in that game, so yes, give that a shot, maybe. Earl, do you play anything?
Yes, I played. What did I play? I played a game which I cannot pronounce. I want to say it's Fugs, but I'm assuming they're trying to have a pun on it being like Pugs. It is Game Pass game where you play as a two-headed dog, and it's okay. like one of those. I don't even know the term, but you can you control both heads at the same time, and they can do different actions and stuff like that. I'm playing that co-op with Physics Space. The actual game and idea, I think, are really cute, and I think it works for the most part. But it's also somehow the game came out in December. We hooked it up. It is also a very buggy game, and part of it, I think, is because it is physics-based. Mm-hmm. So, there are times where one of us gets trapped in a wall, or, we're playing online, so something happens on my screen, but won't happen on their screen. So, we either have to go kill ourselves or restart the mission, because, we ran into a fix yesterday where we just could not progress because the game did the thing I needed to do and I was able, but my friend just did not. And anytime I tried to move forward, it would just hit an invisible wall and I couldn't move forward and it would pull me back. Cause again, you're controlling it. It's the same dog. So the physics is you have to move in a certain direction together. You go so far apart, stretch the body so far before it pulls you forward. So what we ended up doing is we had to end up tricking the game, and I ended up there are certain birds that if they catch you, they will take you back to a bed or they will take you back to an area. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do this and have the bird capture me and pull us forward, and that's what it did. But yeah, the game itself is fun. It's a 3D platformer. So each level kind of introduces like its own little gimmick or hook, and it's fun how to play around with it and stuff like that. And you know, so much of it is told, so much of the story of or interactions are told throughout dialogue. So it's again cute to kind of see how you interact with certain characters. Like there will be a character who will need you to get, like we had yesterday, one of the missions we did, like you had to get a tea set for 3 bears, like having a tea party. So like you just go up to them and like you'll just see like an icon pop up over their heads. Like one wants a teacup, one wants like a teapot, and one wants a like a cookie tray or something like that. And it's like really cute that you get this stuff. And yeah, and then I mean, not as fun, but like right now I'm playing Super Yucky Tail. And okay. Honestly, so far I'm having fun with it. I am. I don't know. I think I mentioned it. I tried it before, and I tried, I think, the demo on the Switch, and I wasn't, I think it was fine, but I wasn't super in love with it. But I was like, I was just, honestly, I was just bored today, and I was going through Game Pass. I'm like, oh, what's a game I can play that's probably not going to take too much time or energy? And it was right there. And yeah, so far I've been playing it during the podcast. It's been it's pretty much what I wanted. It's just a lighthearted 3D platformer that isn't like super intense. Like it's not going to be the next Mario, but it's fun and it's cute. The levels are short enough. I mean, most of the levels, the levels themselves, you could probably beat in no time. The real length of them comes from doing all these side missions and stuff. Like I just finished putting it in like 8 chickens into a little coop. And yeah, you know, it's stuff like that where it's like, oh, this is nifty. This is kind of cool.
Have you done any of the side scrolling?
Yes, I've done. Yes, I beat World 1. I'm on World 2. So yeah, I did one that was an Endless Runner stage, which was cool. It's nice to see that, you know, again, in the context of that. And then I did another one, which was really, you had to carry like one of the robot heads, and like with the robot head, you can't jump or move as quickly. So it's, you know, it's fun trying to navigate space with that imitation. It's kind of like, again, you know, not to just harp on it because it's such a phenomenal game, but it's kind of like 3D World. And like when you get the Captain Toad levels, like I like the Captain Toad levels, partially because they're just so different than anything else in the game. And again, you have to approach it differently because Captain Toad can't jump, and navigating his spaces is just such a different thing from like dealing with Mario and friends. So yeah, it's nice when games are able to mix it up, and it doesn't feel, not that it doesn't feel forced, but you don't feel like you are, what am I trying to say? You don't feel like you are, it doesn't hurt. Like there are games where they try different techniques and you do it and it just does not work out well because the game does not manage it well. Or, you know, like this game clearly was not designed for like a stealth section or platform section or anything like that. And so far I find that these controls and the movability, he does what I need him to do. Is what I ask for in platformers, is he does what I need him to do. And it's, you know, very simple, but he has his jump, he has his attack, he has his dig, and they're getting a lot of mileage out of that. So kudos to them.
Yep. It's not a bad game.
Yeah. And then I've just been playing, I played more Outriders. The game is still fun. And I think this is what me and my friends have all said. If the game was not fun, we would have ditched it long ago, because even almost two months later, there are still a lot of headaches with the games. What am I trying to say? With the game
getting it to work?
Yes, constantly. Like yesterday, we finished the game, and we're just like, we all crashed out at the end, so I guess this is the end of this tonight's session.
Outriders.
Yes, so it's a game that's a ton of fun, enjoyed a great deal, but yeah, I mean, I will be honest. I mean, I think I definitely know I've given Anthem more crap for this, and I've given Marvel, I mean, as far as I know, Avengers worked. And it's not that it doesn't work. It's just like sometimes it's so frustrating when like you crash or like I haven't had that bug in a while, but there will be times where special ability. We've had times where people weren't able to shoot their gun, and it's like it's a combat based game where you can't always engage in the combat. So
I am super happy that I did not encounter any of those issues. Mostly because I played it almost exclusively by myself, so that would have been a nightmare to not be able to shoot. But
yeah, I've kind of earned my secrets for some of that. Is sometimes to not necessarily die, but it's to what am I trying to say? Is that we like you go to an area like sometimes like the game will be like you can't go forward, you don't want to pull enemies towards whatever, and you just go that far that the enemies get the game pushes you back, or like usually if you clear out a space, that will reset and stuff like that. So there's a lot of it's sad that I've earned tricks to actually be able to actually play with a game I own, but. Sometimes you do what you can for the health of the game.
It is more fun than Anthem and Avengers, though, so.
Yes. Okay, the one thing I will say, and this came up yesterday, because, like, you know, we play and we're all relatively... It's like, the cosmetics in that game are kind of awful.
Yes. Atrocious.
It's so disappointing, because, like, so much of it, like, we'll end up, like, playing and, like, picking characters, and all of our characters pretty much have the same gear. Because you get the same, you pretty much get similar gear at the same level. And like all the classes look the same. Like they aren't like, you know, like with Destiny has a very distinct look. So like if even if you have the same gear, it looks different on that character. Where like, we are three different classes and we all look exactly the same when whatever we're wearing. And it's like, there should have been some variety here. And apparently there's also a story, but I don't know.
You're not paying attention to the story. You're not missing a whole lot. So
not at all. Not at all. Like I think that. I mean, I think that you can vote on. What am I going to say? You could vote on. You could vote on like skipping cutscenes as a group and stuff like that.
Oh.
It's always like that one person you really want to see this. Like one friend is playing through separately, and like every so often. Like a key cutscene will come up, and we're just like, "Who are these people?" And he's like, "Oh, this is so and so. If you've been paying attention," I'm like, "I don't care." They're just kind
I
of
have forced not. To it. That sounds like perfect game for you, Jeff. You don't have to pay any attention to it. Just go and shoot things.
That's how I like it.
Hey, sometimes there's a there's a beauty in the simplicity.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad that that game launched on Game Pass.
We'll say yes, that. Yes, yes. That is also a key point.
Is this a game that I need to play?
Need to play? No.
Regarding like year end discussions or no?
I mean, my gut will say no. Yeah. Like I think it will come up for like best like co-op experience.
Don't win anything.
It's not going to be game of the year.
No.
I wasn't saying like that, but just in terms of like, yeah, like multiplayer or something like that.
I mean, maybe at this point, best like co-op multiplayer game, but I don't know. There's probably other stuff that we're going to play over the course of the year.
Dude, that Mario Golf, not co-op, but that Mario Golf multiplayer looks fun.
A lot of fun.
That was news this week too, right?
What was there Mario Golf news this week?
The overview trailer. Yeah. Okay. Which like off modes, the characters, the art. Like yeah, it's essentially Nintendo just kind of getting rid of stuff pre E3. Oh, and I guess the other thing, I guess we would be remiss not to talk about it, so we're not seen as Nintendo bias, because heaven forbid, is that they announced that they. There's a Skyward Sword amiibo, the Zelda with the off wing, and a lot of people are upset, and rightfully so, I think, that they are locking behind a quality of life change where now you like basically fast travel in the game is not to the amiibo.
Yeah, and you could be anywhere. You could be like mid dungeon and warp out of there, which you know can't do in the regular game. I don't know. I don't care. I don't even know that I'm going to get Skyward Sword. I'm not sure. I say that now, of course, I'll buy it day one, but like I don't know. Fuck that game.
Oh, a fan?
Jeff loves it. It's his favorite Zelda.
It's just, I always said that they should redo it and like let you play exactly how I described. They should redo the controls is what they did, but I'm like, now I'm like, do I really want to play that? And I'm like, I don't know that I do. I think I might be perfectly content with Mario Golf and Dark Alliance and such, because it's coming out like right after that, those, I think.
Yeah.
Early July?
I know it's July. I don't know when.
Yeah, it's what, a $25 amiibo too, right? Like,
yeah, that was
to get a warp.
Yeah,
the nice it's looking
really,
amiibo.
I was about to say that's the thing. It's whatever. A really nice looking amiibo, and I mean, it's just such a weird thing because I get the annoyance, and I'm actually with people, but I'm also on the side of people who are just like, I don't collect amiibos for any functionality in games. I collect them because they're great figures.
I have two amiibos. Do you guys have that store Five Below by you?
Yes. Yeah.
So I got an amiibo from Five Below because it was $5. Yeah. Mr. Resetti.
It's always funny to see because, like, yeah, I hate to say it because he's my boy, but you can go to stores and there's a lot of stores that will just have like a ton of Squirtles on discount. Because they did the Pokemon for Smash Brothers, and then he just was not the popular one, I guess.
Yeah.
Turtle's awesome, though.
Yeah. That's what, the reason I got, I mean, one, it was $5, and you're in Five Below. The point of Five Below is to go in there and, like, blow get, $20.
Get junk for know? $5. Yeah.
And also, I'm like, I love Resetti, man. I can't believe they put him in, you know, he's like $5 now. If people don't love Resetti, fuck you. I'm buying them. And I have Resetti and I have the Dark Souls one. That's like the only. Actually, no, I take that back. I do have, I don't know where it is now, the Twilight Princess Wolf one. I have no idea where it is.
Oh, yeah. That one came with the game, right?
Yeah,
it came
with the game. Yeah. I don't know if that counts.
Yes.
The ones I have bought are Resetti and Dark Souls. Dark Souls is just cool because it's like there's a Dark Souls amiibo. What?
I'm holding the Diablo 3 amiibo. Just like makes zero sense. It does not look like
anything. I didn't even know there was one. That's pretty cool.
There's a lot of I'm so mad at myself because I don't think I saved the video because I went to Nintendo World. I guess I think I mentioned it with last time because I went the last time before we recorded. No, I didn't. I went the day after we recorded and then everything else happened. If you go to Nintendo World, they have a display of like all of the amiibos and they put them out to display. And like they will have all of them. So like they'll have like Japanese exclusive ones and stuff like that. And I took a video because I saw it and I'm like, there are some I just completely forgot existed. Like, you know, like the big ones, you know, the Smash Brothers ones, you kind of know, like the Mario ones. And then it's like, oh, here's like one for like a one-off game. Or like, oh yeah, there was a Chibi Robot one for the Chibi Robot Ziplash game. Or it's just kind of cool to see them all made out like that's that. Cool.
Yeah, there were Monster Hunter ones.
Yes. And there's Monster Hunter ones for there's Monster Hunter Rise ones for the 3DS game. There were Monster Hunter ones.
Wow.
There's Japanese exclusive Monster Hunter ones. Yeah, it's insane to think like yeah, because like yeah, you mentioned the Dark Souls one. I forgot there was one for there's a Shovel Knight one. There's like the Gold Mega Man. I forgot that existed.
Man one, that was your Smash though.
Yeah, but there's like usually like Mario gets the special ones, like to have like a gold Mega Man with a
paper. That's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, there's just so many. I'm just like watching, I'm like, oh yeah, it came out. Like my favorite will always remain the cereal box. I don't think you'll
ever. I have that one. I do have that one.
Yeah.
I have that box somewhere. Oh, it's behind my Switch. There it is.
I don't even know what you use it for, but
I don't remember. I do know that you can put it on the RF reader though, and it will do something.
And I think in some places it functions as like as a Mario amiibo. But yeah, it's insane to just think of all of the different ways that they have. Because it's funny because like it's you. You think about it in hindsight, there's actually no amiibo game. There's like, you know, there's no like, okay, this is amiibo, but it's out as the Skylander, Disney Infinity, Lego Dimensions by just being good toys.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and not being tied to one game, probably has done it better.
Yeah. Right. So, good point.
Yeah. So, what was the Mario Golf news?
It was just the trailer. So we saw the starting characters. They mentioned Speed Golf before. What's the other? They introduced a new like online mode, which is just basically like it's just online golf, but like. I mean, like the Speed Golf is everybody goes at once and stuff like that, and everybody has a special move. But then they introduce another one, which I forgot what the gimmick was in that one. It's like one stage. Oh yeah, it's like one stage, and everybody has to like you have to basically get like a hole in one. Like you have to get the ball in the hole first, and the first person to claim three holes wins the game. So I forget what it's called, but yes,
I don't remember that one. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, and then they showed off the RPG elements, which you have in up your Mii characters and stuff like that. And then being able to use the Mii character online and in the actual game, which in my experience as a wrestling fan, always means that somehow you're going to end up breaking the game with your created character that's like 99 across the board in every stat. So, yeah. Hey,
you earned that. So
you do earn that. It's just always funny when it's like, okay, so the top default person here is like, you know, Mario's probably like a 666 across the board, and then you're like, yeah, I make 10 across the board. I got speed, stamina, control. Easy peasy.
I just love that they're bringing that back, like that story type mode, the RPG mode, like, and that, yeah, you could use that character across the modes. Like,
And I like that, it's also like, I think they said there's boss encounters and stuff like that, so I like that it's not just like, you know, it's not going to be golf story, but I like that there seems to be some type of meat to it, and not just like here's golf, just golf all the time.
I'm excited for it, but it's like I just remember being so excited for the tennis game, and it, like somehow that fell flat for me.
Yeah,
golf, I'm a little more confident about because it's like pretty hard to make a bad golf game. I think like. Most golf games I play, I end up enjoying. So
yeah, but I was gonna say, I mean, on the same note, you'd also think it's hard to make a bad tennis
game. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but it's like
on paper, tennis is like basically the oldest video game. It's just
pong. Yeah,
they messed up that single player mode.
That's the thing, and it's like it just took it away. Like I don't know why. It's like. I'm sure, like, I could get back into just playing tennis on it and, like, hey, Melissa, let's play some tennis. But it's just, like, again, it's, like, I have to drive. Anything that's not Mario Kart, it's, like, I have to be, like, guys, you guys want to do this? And everyone's just, like, no, we don't.
Again, that seems like your friends, because, I mean, Mario Kart, I think, is just, Mario Kart's always going to have the advantage of being accessible. Being the name brand, like I mean, at the end of the day, Mario Kart does better than a Mario brand at this point.
It does, yeah. There's certain games that you know, like right now, me, my friend, and my girlfriend all play Rocket League all the time. Like, and it's like super convenient because you're able to play it across platforms. Like, she's on the Switch, I'm on the Xbox. Like, it's so cool.
Well, I was going to say the other thing with that.
There are exceptions to the rule, I guess, is what I'm saying. But
like Mario Kart
is the rule.
I think the big thing with Mario Kart as well is the fact that it is also more people. Like, it would be awesome but most of these other things top out at 4, and then it's like, okay. Like, you get, like, it's not hard to get. I mean, it is, I guess, difficult to get. But like, sometimes it's like, oh, like even the thing with Mario Party, I wanted Mario Party, but it, like, because of the arrangement, it's like, I have friends, but like, they're married. It's going to be weird to like, okay, it's like one married couple can play with me, or two married couples can play with each other. But like, we're gonna have like, there's no way for like, okay, so like one married couple and like somebody else wants to join us, so we can have four players. Does it? It's not an arrangement we can have, because like, yeah, then people would just talk in the background and whatever. Like, but you can't do that, so it's weird. Yeah.
Is golf only four players?
I'm not sure.
I think it's only four players.
I don't see why it couldn't be more, right? Like,
it's no reason. But I think they're just going to limit it to four.
I'm going to change Viking talk to golf talk.
That speed, the speed mode, too, looks neat because it's like, hey, try to get across this hole as fast as possible. It's like everyone's playing at the same time, and then you're running across the course, and it's like, that seems like it will invite some sort of like platforming and stuff, too, by like having you run through the course like that. Like, I don't know, I'm intrigued by that speed mode. Hopefully it's like actually good or whatever. I don't know, I'm down for that game. That game is like so already bought.
Did they say how many courses there's gonna be?
They have not.
No, it's you know, it'll be more than a handful, I'm sure. So
they did say like, you know, mix of realistic type courses, like just kind of standard golf courses and fantasy, which, you know,
that's good. That's kind of what you want, though, right?
Yeah, like I think that was the big problem with 10 is like that, especially, I mean, we won't talk about the Wii U version, but yeah, it's I feel like they nailed it on the GameCube, the right mixture of like Mario zaniness with tennis and like tight controls. And they've tried to keep on doing more or less, and they've never caught that balance again, where it's like, I think the the one on the Switch is the one on the Wii U, the one with the Mega Mushrooms and stuff, where it's like, you get big now. I'm like, oh, okay, that's not really the same thing as like, okay, these carts have like, you know, like Piranha Pants will shoot fire or something like that, or, you know, like you move slower or faster depending on the course and stuff like that. Yeah.
I do wish, though, that, like, the realistic courses were real. Like, they're, you know, I go play Pebble Beach as Mario. Or whatever. Like, actual real courses, that'd be fucking cool.
That would definitely be something.
But, yeah. I don't know how we got to Mario Golf so much, but...
It was news.
Yeah. We need to play some of that when it comes out. That's end of June?
Yes.
Yeah. Same day as Dark Alliance. Which, by the way, gotta play that also.
On Game Pass.
Yeah.
Game Pass.
I'm excited about that. Let's see. I wrote down a couple other things here news-wise. Microsoft and Bethesda announced that they would be having a joint conference in a few weeks. What was that?
Because somebody joked, which is true, a Microsoft Bethesda joint conference now is a Microsoft conference.
It's just a microphone. Yeah. I saw that as well, yeah.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but I guess Bethesda was supposed to have their own conference, but they're now having a joint conference. So it's really just an Xbox conference.
It's an Xbox conference, yes.
But yeah, and they said in a few weeks, which aligns it with E3, so you're just having your Xbox E3 conference. Cool, got it. But I guess that was news today. I also woke up to people just yelling time splitters at me because Deep Silver announced that Free Radical is reforming under them, and... there's going to be a Time Splitters revival.
See, I almost like went crazy and like started sharing this in the group chat and this and that, but I'm like, I feel like I've heard this like 18 times before that Time Splitters is coming back. So I don't care if you're like, no, for real this time. I'm skeptical until I see it.
Yeah, there's no game yet. So
yeah.
For me, it's not even the skepticism. For me, it's very much that Shenmue 3 issue where it's like, it's a very revered. Yeah. How do you, like, I mean, it's okay. I mean, calling a spade a spade. The snake shooters are a rare breed in the game. And how do you, like, there's a reason we kind of evolved beyond the GoldenEye Perfect Dark model of shooters. So how do you bring that back in a modern context where people who are fans of it can feel comfortable being like, this is the stinkiest time splitters, while also having to realize that you're dealing with 20 plus years of progress in that genre?
Yeah, and in a genre with some juggernauts. And yeah, it's, I thought the same thing.
Juggernauts to cover all types of space, because it's like, okay, you could lean into the humor. It's like, but you got Borderlands for that. Yeah. You can lead into time travel or something. We've had a lot of shooters that experimented with that concept and strategy. We've had zany guns. Again, Borderlands covers a lot of the zany guns. Bulletstorm covers a lot of the over-the-top stuff. So it's like, what is your angle here other than the name brand?
I don't know. I think that, like, you could do a shooter that feels like an older shooter, but then like somehow modernize it a bit, just, you know, make it look good. And
yeah.
Design, and I would like it, but yeah, it's like, it seems like this impossible thing. Like, it really does to me. Same thing with, like, if you tell me Perfect Dark's coming back, I'm like, yeah, okay. And I love that game, but like,
yeah, but Perfect Dark, like, Perfect Dark, I could see the angle a bit differently, because, like, that's the story of Joanna Dark. Like, people are invested in the character. And I feel like, even though it is defined, I don't feel Perfect Dark is as defined in that. Like, it has to be a certain type of shooter, but, like, it can't be a Call of Duty clone. But I think Time is very defined. Like, I think a lot of people, it's not necessarily, it's because it's the multiplayer. It's, again, the same reason that people have a fondness for GoldenEye, which I get, but you can't just GoldenEye is day and age, because nobody's going to enjoy it.
I mean, if he did it well enough, I would play it and I would like it, but I'm not.
Would you buy it for $60?
Yeah, I probably would. I mean,
yeah, but like,
I'm not the guy that you need to judge this against, though.
Like, yeah, like you're the guy that's like, yeah, I would buy a new Perfect Dark, I would buy a new Time Splitters. It's the guy that buys Call of Duty every year that he has fond memories of Time Splitters.
But been replaced. It's just something better. Yeah.
Is he gonna play a whatever this new Time Splitters is and like it? Like, I don't know. It's interesting that, you know, it's I guess the original people from Free Radical, the original founders, I think, are the ones that they're working on this for this new Free Radical under Deep Silver. But also, it's Deep Silver.
Yeah, I'm skeptical. Bring back the gingerbread man, though, and playing as the monkey. I like those things. What was the big thing at the time, too? That was one of the first games that had a map editor.
Yeah.
That's been done to death now, kind of, right? Like,
right.
Halo, you can do that, right? Like,
I mean, hell, you could do it all. You can create rules. Like, I mean, there are players and modes from Halo that are just fan created. And yeah, it's like, what are you bringing to this table?
It's like Halo is behind the curve now in terms of like what a modern shooter is in some ways. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like, that's how far behind you're starting with Time Splitters.
I mean, Halo is a different beast, because I think Halo started to chase it. I think if Halo kept on being its own thing, it would, but it wanted to play a duty, which is why you got the loadouts and you got the abilities and, you know, you got the dash and the shoulder charge. It's like, yeah, like, I get it. Like, but yeah, it's like everybody's kind of converged to one type. But that's a different discussion. But yes, the fact of the matter is, like, yes, Halo is a juggernaut. And like you said, it plays second or third fiddle to other franchises. We've seen, yeah, there's a bunch. And just because the shooter is so prolific, it's like, we've seen almost every configuration I can think. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there with a great idea. But you are kind of narrowed in having be an IP that people are familiar with. that they're nostalgic for from 20 some odd years ago.
Yep.
But I mean, they obviously did not show anything today, and it seems like it'll be a ways off before they have anything to show. So it could very well be right, Jeff. Like, maybe this is nothing. So
I've heard this Time Splitters exact story.
Well, not this exact story.
Come on!
They reformed Free Radical, and I think they actually got some of the developers there. Which part of me is like, that's awesome. Part of me is also like, you folks haven't moved on, or like, were you just in between jobs at the same time?
Yeah, it's like for 20 years you've been like hoping to make a new Time Splitters game.
Hey man, you know what? I really did love Time Splitters back in the day. So, but yeah,
I remember really liking the first one. I don't remember playing the third one a ton. So
the second one was the most people remember. And the third one is Future Sight, right?
Yeah, the third one was like fine, but it was just like from one to two felt like this huge like. I mean, one was really great too, but like two was like really added to the multiplayer shit of like just the options and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think I just missed out on it. I think I was just into other types of games at that time. So,
And this is just an aside. Hey,
look, I was playing on the GameCube. So I didn't have Halo, so I had Time Splitters 2.
I was gonna say, it's always to think about the energy of that franchise, though, because like it's GoldenEye, really lost the IP to James Bond, and it made Perfect Dark.
On the box, it says the heir apparent to GoldenEye.
It's a spiritual successor to a spiritual successor. That's not something you often get, where it's like, okay, we couldn't even do our knockoff of our original game, so here is our third attempt at the same game. Granted, they're all great. It's just really funny to think about, this is a sequel to a game that's unrelated. That's a sequel to a game that's unrelated.
The last thing I have here in news is the IGN Game Informer Palestine support and them being censored by their corporate publishers. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know a ton about the Israeli-Palestine conflict, but it is pretty shitty that they put up a support, you know, post to showing where to donate money to basically help like children over there, and both Game Informer and IGN's parent companies, different ones, to GameSpot. GameStop is a Game Informer's parent company, and Ziff Davis is IGN's. They both took it down. And, IGN made a big. They pushed out. Their employees kind of pushed out a Medium post. Putting this down that they were censored and some stuff's going on there. It's a bit of a mess, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, especially being like, you know, if they took it down, IGN put up the new statement like in the middle of the night, I think it was like 3 a.m. or something, with nobody signed off on it, nobody knew about it. And then, yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like, it sucks, because like, yeah, sometimes corporations are, for lack of a better term, spying this, and that's their prerogative. But like, to do this with, and then like basically to take it out of control of editorial, or like have them modify the statement, it was just like taken down. It sounds like a lot of people take down, even fewer people about the statement that was being released.
I really try not to talk politics at all these days, but like. It was just like, hey, we're trying to raise money for people that are like are affected. Like, what is the controversy here? Like, it's amazing the blowback you get for doing anything, like saying anything against Israel, which they didn't even do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy how like slanted that anything with Israel and Palestine is. It's like, if you say anything like, hey, maybe like we shouldn't kill Palestinian children and stuff, it's like, what, you hate Israel? You hate the Jews? It's like, no, what are you talking about? Like,
the one that maybe makes me the most angry is Israel has a right to defend itself. Nobody's saying that they don't. you literally have a $1 trillion defense system that shoots down missiles that are being shot at you.
And then you overkill, like, and kill like the other side 20 times more.
It's right. Like they shot 3,000 rockets, but none of them hit. None of them hit. You defended yourself.
Yeah.
When you retaliate, you're attacking. That's no longer defense. So that's the one that makes me a little bit angry. Like I don't know.
It's the go-to. Anytime I see anything about that, it's like, it's either you're an anti-Semite or Israel has a right to defend itself. And it's like, wow. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's hard to argue against that someone has a right to defend themselves, but like, then what about Palestine? Do they have a right to defend themselves? Like, you know,
it's
argument is stacked, like, in favor of
it's really bad. As I said, I don't know a ton about it, but like, starting to read into it now, like, and then that's on me, right? I'm like fucking 42 years old, like. Never, I've just taken their word. Israel's our ally.
Yeah.
Never really looked into, like, you know, the human rights atrocities that people have accused them of. And then when you start looking into it, it's not a great look.
Like, I know a little bit, but like,
they have money.
I don't know any
money.
Yeah, they have a lot of money.
I don't know any. World politics as well as I know, like, stuff that's going on in America. So, like, sure. I'm always, like, I'm not the expert on that. But, like, you know, what I understand about it, it seems like a pretty fucked up situation for Palestine. Like, it seems fucked up. It's probably a bad thing. It's bad, you know, to shoot rockets at Israel also. Yes, that's bad, but, like, there's a context, there's a larger context to things, and, you know, I would say Palestine has gotten fucked over pretty fucking bad. And it's just, like, I don't want to get into it too much further, but, yeah, it's just, like, such a smaller power, like, swinging at, like, someone that's way more powerful and just getting fucking annihilated in return. And if you say anything about that, it's like, you hate Israel. It's like, dude, I don't know shit about Israel. I'm just telling you how I, like, see it.
Hey, maybe we shouldn't kill defenseless people. Or if we are going to do that for whatever reason, you know, maybe we can throw some support towards those that are being affected by it that are innocent.
But it's like, think of the power structure here where it's like all IGN people did was say, like, let's raise some money for people that are, like, hurting in Palestine. And it was like, that was controversial enough for their parent companies to take that down. Like,
yeah,
it's crazy, dude. It is really crazy.
I mean, don't really know what else to say about that, but I'm glad that IGN's employees, like, stepped up.
I'm glad they, like, all did not lose their jobs.
Yeah, also that, like,
yeah, you know. Yeah, because the thing is, you don't fire people now because it's obvious. You wait and then find reason.
Yeah, like, that's gonna be rough. Like, if, like, you know, certain people start being offed from IGN, and remember, it wasn't just editorial. Like, this was everybody on their content team. So, you know, not just their editors, that there were a bunch of, you know, producers and other behind the scenes talent that, you know, signed on to this open letter. Some noticeable names, possibly missing from there, but, But the ones that I was kind of looking for were there, so it was good to see a nice a show of solidarity from the majority of that staff. Yeah, well, maybe I shouldn't have ended with that rough.
Yeah, piece I'll of end news, with some fun IGN news.
Yeah,
I am still subscribed to the Nintendo voice chat for some reason.
We've been fixed that now.
I don't know. I never listened to it. Like I'm like, why am I still subscribed to this? And you know, I generally like the times I have listened, I'm like, this is terrible corporate garbage. But I listened to the latest episode because I read the description. I was like, Matt Casamassina.
Oh, really?
He was on the latest one.
That is a throwback to
a throwback to the GameCube era.
That was the first podcast I ever listened to. Was the original Nintendo voice chat?
Yeah, because it was named after. I mean, I guess it's sad that it's still a complaint about. Well, I mean, they did that. We ended up getting voice chat when we speak, but
they brought him on to talk about the GameCube. Like it was like the 20th anniversary or something.
Yeah, later this year. Nice. Yeah, I guess it came out in Japan. Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah, it was pretty cool hearing from him. I'm like, I haven't heard this guy's voice in over a decade. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, the sad thing, though, is like, I feel like everybody else is still there because Fran's still part of IGN. And
Tyr was on the episode.
Yeah.
They were talking memories of, I think it was like to Mark. Bozon was not there, but it was Mark.
No, since Bozon joined later on.
The event where like the GameCube was unveiled.
No, that wouldn't have it because that would have been Space World 2000. I mean, I guess
something like that. Maybe the E3 before. I don't know.
Okay, so it's not the. Oh yeah, Nintendo revealed the GameCube. Right, oh, okay, so it was like the game. I guess it would be the GameCube's reveal itself because I think the E3 the Space World before had like the Zelda demo that we never got, and it had like that Pokemon and Mario 128. So it's more like
the Zelda demo that looked like realistic.
Yeah, it's where him and Ganon are fighting.
Got it. Yeah, that was a cool looking demo.
Yeah, it's kind of funny in hindsight that none of those Zelda demos ever work out. Because I remember, I don't think people was as big on it, but the one for the Wii U, where he goes to fight the giant spider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was some good times.
Yeah. Oh. I don't think I ever listened to Nintendo voice chat. So
I've listened. I mean, honestly speaking, pandemic has just killed most of my podcasts listening. But yeah, I haven't listened to them in a long time. Honestly, I think because there's a period of time where they just were like flipping through casts. And I think like once like Matt and I think Bozo left it, and this is over a decade ago, and I stopped listening because there was that one dude who was who ended up being a plagiarist, right?
And God, that was the fucking craziest thing ever. I follow that guy. He's like tried to come back a couple times, and every time he does, all the replies you'll see to him are just like "fuck you, dude." I almost feel kind of bad for him, but it's like, dude, you're like, your job is to like give your opinion on a game, not someone else's.
Yeah.
That guy was weird.
Yeah, that was the height of IGN was that era though when
it was awesome. Back then.
Hillary Goldstein was not Hillary was after. I'm trying to think of who was after. Who was before Hillary? But it was like that era where it was like Hillary and Greg Miller was running the PlayStation show, and I guess that's still going beyond.
Yeah, Craig Harris, Bozon.
Craig Harris, Bozon, Casamassina.
I actually knew
David Klayman.
I think the only person I know that works at IGN now is like Brian Altano.
Yep, who seems like a nice
enough guy. You know, he's like a cool dude.
Is Max Scherville back there, or did he leave again? I know he came and left. I don't know if he came back again.
Max, I believe, he works for the company that he works for EA, but is it Motive? Are they the ones that did the Star Wars Squadrons game? I think that's it. EA Motive up in Canada. I believe that is where he is, because he was also on another. He was on Rebel FM. He would show up there every once in a while. No, maybe I'm getting them confused.
But anyway, IGN's content in general now, their podcasts, their videos, whatever, it feels like so corporate and so like.
Nope, Scoville is back with IGN. Yep, video host producer there now. Anyway,
not a fan of.
No, Altano is probably the last one for me.
Like I dig him. Like he seems like a cool dude, but like you're working inside of a machine that is like no personality. Like I don't know. Night and day between something like them and listening to the other podcast that died, Giant Bomb.
Yeah, I mean, it's not dead, but
I haven't listened to Giant Bomb in years either because I didn't want to repeat what they say, but I thought that they, they feel like real people and they don't. Like their podcasts, they wouldn't be like, "Oh, we're in a rush for time, guys. We got to get this all done in 40 minutes." Because it was like, I don't know, it was a real podcast, not this fucking McDonald's fucking shit that IGN. Sorry, not the shit on IGN, but I think they suck now.
The Bombcast is still around. I just listened to them. It's a weirder show now, not having
Do they like get replacements already? Like,
well, I mean, what's his name from? He was on the Beastcast, Jeff Bacalar. He has joined them over there, on the Bombcast. Yeah, there's only the one show now. So he left the Beastcast because that Giant Bomb East is gone, and he works for Red Ventures now. He left CNET, who he had worked for, and he is now under Fred Ventures Game Division, and he works with Giant Bomb. They had what's Jason O'Striker and Jan Ochoa, who were already on the show. They've been there for a couple of years now, and Danny O'Dwyer has been appearing for like the last month and a half, 2 months. So yeah, like and Gershman's still there, but it's just weirder not having Brad host it. He's hosted it since Ryan Davis died, what, 7 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things, especially for Giant Bomb, because I mean, calling a spade, Giant Bomb was a site that was designed around personalities.
Yeah,
and like you said, like Jeff is the only personality you have from the original cast past. And it was Brad and I don't even think Vinny. It was Brad and Alex, and then like you got Dan Reichman, who was a big part of their personality. I mean, like, yeah, they've had people go. They had Dan come and go. They had Patrick come and go. I think Austin Walker was with
Austin
them
for a year.
But you still always had like that core that kind of navigated, and now you lost them too. And I like Jeff, but he was never the most entertaining part of that site.
No, I think he's the most knowledgeable.
Yes.
I think for me, when I listened, he was my favorite. But I listened when it was like him, Brad, and Dan. And it was like, they're all like brought something to the table, I thought. And it was just a good mix. I honestly, the only reason I stopped listening is because I was like, all right, I'm listening to this show, and then I'm recording a show like a day later. Like, I'm like, I don't want to repeat whatever they're like saying, you know, because they were that good. So,
honestly speaking, I stopped listening because the show's like 3 hours long.
Yeah,
ain't nobody got time for that for a podcast.
I like that about the though. Like, again, like, that's what I hate about IGN, where it's like, it feels so rushed at all their podcasts. Like, this has got to be done in 45 minutes, guys, because we got to go run and do something else. Like, I hated that about it. Like,
so I mean, I listen to the Bombcast. I listen to the Bombcast every week. I used to listen to the Beastcast most weeks. But mostly it's just like, I put it on while I'm working and it's just noise like going on. And like, sometimes I'll perk up and
fade
like,
it out. Yeah.
Yeah. If like, oh, we're talking about Resident Evil now. Yeah. I'm going to listen to that. But, oh, we're talking about Pokemon cards now. I'm tuning out for a little bit. Yeah. Like, and that's
kind of how I listen. So, yep.
Right. So I just like put it's like I put on talk radio.
Yeah.
It's people talking about games or politics or you know, history or whatever. I listen to a lot of podcasts over the course of the week. So.
Yeah.
I did too until, ironically enough, until the pandemic, like I said, because it's like, I mean, part of it, I think, as eventually I started replacing that time with TV shows and movies because I had the time to do it. But it's also just weird to hear people talk when I'm not around other people. Because, like, at work, it would be used to drown out people, but you still have something going on in your head that you can listen to. So it's like one of those things, like, because if you hear other people talking, you kind of focus in on that, where if you focus in on something that you're listening to, you can drown out people around you. When I don't have people to drown out around me, it just reminds me how isolated I am when it's just the people coming from my computer.
I do not listen to podcasts at home, long story short for me. So, yeah, if I was, like, working from home, I would have a movie on or, you know, like, a comfort.
I mean, I'll do that too, but generally it's like if I need to focus on like getting a report done or something, just having people talk, like when there's stuff moving on the screen, like I have a tendency to like shift my focus a little bit. Like,
what's going on over here?
Yeah, and I've been doing that a lot recently, or just like
I noticed you've been cranking out those movies, dude.
Yeah, like one or two a day, and it's like
watching DTV Bruce Willis flicks.
Ooh, that was bad.
Yeah, he's got a lot of those.
Yeah, like that, it is more insane.
He might be a more I need to work 1,000 movies a year than Nick Cage. Like,
he makes me sad. Like, I don't understand.
Because he's Nick Cage is also a legitimately good actor, but, yeah. But Nick seems a little off.
The difference is Nick Cage will at least try on some of these movies. Like, there are some here you take Nick for Cage
a reason too. Like, he has, doesn't he have like tax issues? Like, back
yeah,
tax
he has to work like 1,000 jobs a year.
He's doing this because he's done giving a shit about his career, and he's like, well, I could go show up for a fucking day or two doing this fucking.
Yeah. I think you're right, Earl. Like, Bruce Willis just doesn't care.
Yeah. Bruce Willis is. Yeah. I don't remember the last time I saw Bruce Willis and where he was just not like sheep walking through it. Where you could find Glass, a cage.
I thought Glass, like, that Glass was like a real movie, though, you know? Like,
but you could pick real movies. Like, he's picking. Like, he just did. That looks really trash.
He has a bunch of directive, like Nick Cage does too, but like Nick Cage also seems to seek out like he's trying to find stuff that's interesting, you know?
Yeah, because he has a very interesting resume this year or own. And again, like you could find movies I'm sure you've seen the graphic, the chart of like Nick Cage. Like there are times where like he's like I watched Jiu-Jitsu and like he was like the most interesting part of that movie because like he's given a performance. But it's like one of those performances where it's like he's in a different than everybody else, and he's in a fun movie.
Like Nick Cage will bring it even sometimes on that shit, where it's just like Bruce Willis is sleepwalking through like the end of his career. Like, you're rich, dude. Go fucking retire and bang whoever you're banging now. And like, what do you care? Like, what are you doing? Why are you putting yourself in garbage like that when you don't have to?
Yeah, so that movie I watched, Breach, made Doom look good. So
Like, there's another one with him and Mike Chiklis together.
Oh.
Wow.
I've not seen it. I don't do a ton of DTV. I've done a few of the Nick Cage ones. Some of them are okay.
Yes. And I don't know if you folks saw my big purchase this week for the summer. What is his name? Andy Sardaris?
I think I did see you post that. I didn't know what it was, though. I guess I'm unfamiliar.
Oh, this is his resume. This is his not his entire filmography, but his most famous ones.
Oh, this looks good.
He's most known, the movie I know him from, and the reason I picked this up is Hard Ticket to Hawaii. He essentially makes movies that Skinemax would show. It's like softcore porn action movies.
Yeah. It's like, it was like Girls with Guns or whatever was the cover. I saw you post it. I was like, I've never heard of this guy.
No.
Like a box set or something?
Oh, yeah, that's what I got, the box called Girls, Guns, and G-Strings.
Edition.
That was amazing.
That sounds right up my alley. Like, I love it.
Yeah, it's Malibu Express, Heart Ticket to Hawaii, Picasso's Trigger, Savage Beast, Guns, Do or Die. Like, these all just like dreadful action movies, and I am both dreading and excited for this summer because it's 12 movies. I figured one a week for the June, July, and August.
Did you get it from Amazon for $7?
I did not. I started at one. I got the one that was $28 because it comes with the digital versions as well.
Okay.
And I think one is a kinned up version of that.
That's fair.
So this is like a current director like doing these types of movies, or is it like an old?
No. He's from old. The '80s and nineties.
Yes. Okay, so these are like movies from the '80s and nineties.
Yes, and I have to say, like, as a fan of, clearly this is a video podcast, as a fan of questionable movies, I find that there's just nothing like a really questionable '80s movie. Like, I don't know what happened in, like, the '90s, and I think like in the 2000s, people just kind of knew how to make movies. Like, to make them bad, it's like really takes effort. Like the '80s, I think. Even in good movies in the '80s, it's like people were just trying stuff, and
I find bad movies from that era way more charming and interesting to me than bad movies from now. Also, like, I like the '80s trash a lot nowadays. If a 2021 movie is like total trash, I'm like, you suck. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm a way harsher judge of like current stuff that's trash. I don't know.
Well, I mean, again, it depends because like,
I just love that era. Like, anything about like '80s, especially like that era of film, like it's just like the worst shit. I'm still like, this is pretty good.
Because people were trying, and there was an earnest effort for it. Now, where I think a lot of the times the low budget stuff now looks cheap. Where, like, I think there's stuff that like was cheapish back then that still looks fine. Part of the reason I bring this up is because I watched Masters of the Universe last weekend, and I'm like, you know, like, I'm not going to say this is a great movie, but I'm having fun with it. It has some really cool costume designs and set pieces. Like, it was a movie somebody like tried to make. They did not try hard enough, but they tried. And I'm like, I'm having fun with this. And I'm like, if this was made nowadays, like, I feel like it would be so like trying hard that it just would not capture the fun and stupidity of the fact they were making a live action movie.
I would take that Masters of the Universe movie over whatever Masters of the Universe movie they would do now. Although, I gotta be honest, I think that I would watch that Kevin Smith cartoon just to see what the fuck is going on there.
Yeah, and that was part of the reason I watched it, because I'm like, oh, that cartoon, let me rewatch this movie. But yeah, it's like stuff like that. And it's the same reason, like, you know, like people hate Batman and Robin, but I'm like, I would take Batman and Robin over a lot of current comic book movies because it has a sense of style and fun to it. Like, it's not a great movie, but it has a person that is like, it's very, this is this movie.
That 90s aesthetic doesn't have as much juice with me as the 80s. Like, even some of the stuff I really loved in the 90s, like, Scream is starting to lose its luster for me a little bit, where I'm like, this was the greatest movie of all time to me at one point. And now when I watch it, I'm like, it's so fucking 90s, dude. Like, it has its its place, but like it does not like whatever it is to me. Like the 80s, like has the most charm. If that makes any sense.
Well, was in for a lot of Eric Estrada in his 12 films.
Yes. He's also one of those directors who Curie has like a set of actors that he enjoys working with.
Yep. A lot of the same women in all these films. Eric Estrada. Yeah.
The one I'm looking forward to is, I think, in two of the Ada movies. You're a wrestling fan, so you might know him. Buff Bagwell.
Yeah.
Is in them. He is in Day of the Warrior. He is apparently the Warrior. And then I think he makes a cameo appearance in Return to Savage Beach.
Okay. I don't remember Buff being a great promo person. So
I have to say, I don't remember him being a great wrestler, but I'm intrigued.
I mean, he has a physique to him, that's for sure. So
yeah. And again, based on what I've seen of, I've seen Hard Ticket to Hawaii and I see Malibu Express. Based on these movies, I'm not necessarily thinking he casts people based on their acting abilities. Or if he did, he's a very, he should fire his casting director.
You guys ever seen Nightmare Beach from the 80s?
I don't think I've heard of that.
I think it's called Nightmare Beach.
That is a movie from the 80s. It is.
I don't know if that's the one I'm thinking of, though. It has the cop from Nightmare on Elm Street, the dad. Like he's
John Saxon?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in it.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. It's just like a spring break slasher movie with him fucking running around as the cop in it.
I kind of want to see this now.
Yeah, the 80s is just filled with shit like that, though. That, like, to me is like the best. I don't know.
And if you're looking for some 80s and 90s action movies, Xbox has a sale on their digital movies this week, specifically on 80s and 90s action films.
Nice.
That does remind me of a piece of news that is of no interest to any of us because we don't play this game, but it's of interest of us because of what it is. It's that Call of Duty Warzone introduced the Die Hard and Rambo challenge.
Nakatomi Plaza, and is it right?
Yes, yes.
That game awesome. On my Xbox, and I did used to play it. I guess I could still play it, right?
Yeah.
I do kind of have most of that, that itch, though, in Mortal Kombat 11. They, like, covered the action. They don't have, you said it has Bruce McClane in it, or, like, Die Hard shit?
Has Nakatomi Plaza, John McClane, and
Bruce McClane.
And Rambo.
You got half of it right for both heads.
Yeah. So he's not in Mortal Kombat 11, but, like, everything else, pretty much. Terminator, Rambo, RoboCop. It's fucking great.
He would make. Rambo doesn't make a lot of sense with him either. But
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Anyway, Earl, enjoy your 12 films.
Oh yes, I'm new. And the sad thing is, I can't even think because this is my idea, and my friend's like, "Yes, we should do it." I'm like, "This is why I should not." Make decisions.
Is this going to be for your Friday night movies?
Yes, that is the assumption. Okay. I mean, I think we might double up some weeks because again, it sounds great on paper, and then I'll get like 4 weeks in, and I'm like, I want some variety. They're like, okay, we could do like two next week or something like that. We'll see. The idea is supposed to be so that I don't have to think about any decision making because we've seen, I think, probably close to 400 movies now.
Here's what you do, Earl. Mix in a movie called The Pit in there. Just throwing it out there.
What is The Pit?
You'll not regret it. Just put it that way. You guys will all be like, what the fuck are we watching?
I have to watch it, so.
Yeah, Chris has to watch it. It's from 1981.
Okay, for some reason I was thinking of that.
Different ones.
I was thinking of that recent movie, The Elevator? Is that what it's called?
I know what you're talking about. The platform or whatever.
Like, yeah, the platform. Platform. There we go. Platform, yes.
No, I don't think that qualifies for your
I shared the trailer for, like, I think I shared the trailer for in the group
you,
chat.
You if did,
you're
gonna
watch it, just watch the trailer for The Pit, and you'll know, like, it has to be one.
But we also have we also have 2 weekends before June, so hopefully we'll find some stuff to fit in there as well.
I'm telling you, I think that one is on Tubi, I think. It was on Shudder,
and too. Again, because we are totally a video game podcast, I think
talked
that...
about movies a lot.
Whatever.
Yeah, good. I'm just gonna throw it out there because I always want to give credit to it. I mean, it is full of junk, but if you enjoy, Tubi is actually a really great service.
Yeah,
Tubi is absolutely great.
Like, I find more often than not, like, I will find something to watch on Tubi for, like, background viewing because it's like stuff you don't necessarily care about, but it seems interesting. And I found some really great movies on it. Like, I think Bait is not a Tubi exclusive, but one that's always on Tubi. It's a really great shark movie. Ton of fun.
I think
Bait is good. That's the one in the grocery store in Australia,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that one. It's fun.
I think Eden Lake on Tubi was really good. Also, Chris, you have to watch Bloody Birthday now on Tubi. It just got removed.
Okay, that's fine.
Went to go look at it on Shudder. I'm like, this thing has been on there for like over a year, and it just disappeared when I needed to watch it, but it's still on Tubi. Yeah. Tubi's got your back. When something is not on anything else, Tubi's got your back.
I mean, that is, I was clearing out my letterboxed watch list, and there was a movie on there called Anthropophagus, I think is what it's called. It means a cannibal, I guess. But it's a John D'Amato film. Yeah. And it's like, I've heard, like, oh, it's like one of the, you know, it's one of the most repulsive, it has some of the most repulsive scenes ever in a horror film. And Tubi was the only place that had it.
It's like Tubi's always like, it's like if something is available again, like if Bloody Birthday was still on Shudder, I would have watched it on Shudder because obviously no ads. Yeah, but like, I find the quality of the transfers or whatever they get are good and very rare interruptions from commercials. Like it's
when they do interrupt, they're cut properly.
It's
like
it feels like a commercial break. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's not like Voodoo and Crackle are just like, you could be in the middle of a conversation. It's just like, here's like your ad. But yeah, the Tubi is almost always feels like it's like at a scene break,
like,
or
like
it feels appropriate.
Through the movie and thought about where to put the ads, which is like insane for the number of the movies they have on there, but they make it work.
Yep. So, well, we've gone long.
If you want to hear more movie talk, there's a...
I was going to say, we've gone long. And we've not talked about our video games in like an hour.
But yeah, we do have a movie podcast that you can listen to, Recurring Nightmares. But we'll be back next week with some more stuff. I think Biomutant, at least for me. I will have some Biomutant for next week. So.
I do plan on getting it, but I don't want to like bounce off of Mass Effect 1 to play it, so we'll see how this plays out.
Yeah, I would finish up Mass Effect 1 before.
So it's like, if I'm done with Mass Effect 1, then I will probably get it.
And jump into it.
Yeah, we'll see. I will play Biomutant at some point for sure, unless it gets like really terrible reviews. But
I'm going to wait until it comes out on Tuesday. But I'm going to wait and see how those reviews go. But if they come in at a decent score, you know, 70s or higher, I'm probably going to get it. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, Earl, take us out.
Yeah, I didn't know I was a high hit.
I know.
And...
I know.
But
twist ending, motherfucker.
Let's have a good night. Have a good day. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch you next week. Good night from New York. There we go.